forsooth, adverb, archaic. In truth, in fact, indeed. Now used in derision or to express disbelief.
So we are back with our weekly podcast, the Forsooth podcast, and I feel like we've kind of done a disservice to everybody. It is not the Forsooth podcast. There's actually a lot more than just Forsooths at this table. I'll introduce everyone individually, and then they can kind of chime in once I'm done. But we have Justin Sooth, Monica Sooth, who is back, by the way, after being off the air from us for quite some time.
My front two. They're both here.
And then we have Baby Sooth at the table as well. We have Katie, who was a Sooth and always is a Sooth. And then live via satellite hookup, we have Rachel Sooth, not to mention myself, which I won't because I'm not full of myself. So that's a lot of Sooths.
Well, who are you full of if you're not full of yourself?
I am
full
of... Well, I mean, ravioli, I guess. But yeah, so do you guys, let's go one by one and just say a couple things. Justin, you go first.
Howdy, I'm Justin. I'm the eldest of the Sooths. That's special, I guess? I don't know.
Monica, a little quiet because I'm holding a baby. Was not a Sooth, but now is a Sooth.
Hi, I'm Tabitha. I was born a Sooth.
She's the very special guest, though.
Yeah, she's a very special guest.
And then I'm Katie. I was a Sooth. I will always be a Sooth, but I am now a Ruiz León, which is a really freaking fancy sounding name, honestly.
It's really nice.
It's kind of cool.
It's a cool name.
Shout out to the Ruiz Leóns.
Yeah, they're pretty awesome.
And then our special satellite guest.
Hello, I'm Rachel, and I'm a pure blood Sooth, and I will always be a Sooth. Unlike some other traitors.
I have to.
Yeah, don't do it, Rachel. You will miss it way too much.
I tell you this right now. As someone of German descent, probably a bad idea to throw pure blood out there, Rachel.
I am a dark-haired pure blood.
There's quite a bit of Semitic blood in us.
Yeah.
Yes, quite a bit.
Quite a bit, though. We're good.
Speaking of Semitic, let's talk about Santa Claus.
Yeah, that's the most Semitic thing on our agenda.
I know, right? What
totally
a great segue,
is,
right?
Yeah.
Right?
Great segue.
Yeah. So you guys pictures of Santa at my hospital, and the doctor who plays Santa Claus is Jewish, so.
That's fantastic.
It's very fitting if you think about it. Like, if you really just, like, dig into the nitty-gritty. I mean, there's supposed to be a holiday about Jesus. And, like, Santa Claus is stolen.
Right.
Jesus was a Jew. So, I mean, it's only fitting if Santa Claus was.
But Jesus wasn't born around this
Jesus
time.
Jesus wasn't born around this time at all.
Yeah.
Wasn't it, like, September? It would have been late spring, early summer.
Because
look,
shepherds
but,
would not be outside, and
right.
It was around, kind of,
the
Passover.
That it was moved to this time frame
stop your war on Christmas.
Conversion.
Yeah.
Stop your war on Christmas.
Real quick. What time is winter in Israel?
Around
that's
the
a
same.
Good
is it around
it's around
December?
The same. They
okay.
have a similar climate to Lancaster.
Okay.
Where, you know,
I
some
know,
of
where
us
where
see grew up to.
When I went to
is
France.
Is Israel above or below the equator?
It's above.
Similar
above,
climate
okay.
to Lancaster, so it's just roundabout awful?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yes.
Awful
all the time.
Really warm during the day, unbearably hot at day, and frigidly cold at night. Yeah.
Which is why shepherds would not be outside. That would not happen.
Making sure that your skin is constantly chapped, no matter what you do.
Enough on the war on Christmas. Let's talk about Christmas.
This sounds like a war on Lancaster, to be honest.
Oh, that's fair. Do you guys ever use layaway? I've never used layaway a day in my life.
I have not used layaway.
No, never.
My mom did one time for like some clothes. I think it was at Walmart.
Yeah. Rachel?
I think mom used it once, and I was there.
Okay.
But I mean,
does that
general
count?
Concept is...
I think it counts.
It's more of an experience than I have. So apparently, like, layaway is a thing in which you want an item, you don't have the money for the item, you make them pull it off the shelf so it's your item, and then you slowly pay for the item, and then you get it when you pay it off.
If you, like, pre-order something at GameStop, it's kind of like layaway because you can just keep putting $5 on it here and there. The only thing is it's not actually released yet. Like, there's no way to buy it.
The other issue why it's not is because if you don't pick it up 5 days after the release date, it's no longer yours anymore, unlike layaway, where they hold it till you pay for it.
Yeah.
Well, so, some layaways have a time, though.
Speaking of layaway...
Well, we are speaking of layaways.
I know, I'm just pushing this forward.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
You got it.
Oldest sooth. So, generally the concept is that people will go to these Walmarts and they'll put their stuff away for the holidays, and eventually by Christmas time they'll pay it off, and they've got their Christmas shopping basically done, and they take it for their kids. Well, there's been a thing, and now this is not just been done by the people I want to talk about who did this, because apparently a lot of people in Los Angeles, I find out, do this also, where they literally will just go in and they'll throw like $30 or $40 down on just something. Hey, just, can you put this on somebody's layaway? Because maybe I have a little extra money and I want to help someone out during the holidays. And they feel good about it. And so it's usually strangers going up and paying off people's layaways, and then they don't like to have their name attached.
Just do a random good act.
Because otherwise it would be a selfish act, and it would mean nothing.
In a way. Not exactly, but in a way, kind of. Like, it's like you're taking credit for it. So one of the first one I want to talk about is Tyler Perry. Now, I hate Tyler Perry as an actor. I think that he does great work. He's, if you have something that is not Made, like, he's really good in it.
Medea.
Whatever you pronounce. I don't
Medea.
Know. Medea.
Medea? Yeah. Medea. Medea.
Well, some of those sounds don't make sense then. Because I thought they rhymed with Medea.
No,
it's Medea.
Oh. But it was a Dea from Medea. I thought that's...
No.
Oh, maybe I'm wrong. Okay. But whatever. But so his roles in that are horrible, but like when he's like in a serious movie... where he's playing like someone who isn't in drag, he does really good work as an actor.
Just I'll be honest, I don't think I've seen a single Tyler Perry movie.
Me neither.
I've seen one, and it was...
horrible?
No, it was actually... I thought it was a great movie, to be completely honest with you.
I mean, I couldn't give you an opinion about it.
I was not expecting that.
I saw Madea Goes to Jail, and it actually had a very... serious plot line. Like, you had the jokes with Medea being in jail, which were actually, I thought they were hilarious, honestly.
That's what I thought, like, his movies are. It's like Medea does, like, weird, crazy ass stuff, and then, like, the actual plot line of the movie is.
It's pretty, like, the plot line was actually pretty intense, and it did really. It dealt with some pretty hard things because part of the plot line. Spoiler alert. Part of the plot line was a prostitute who didn't want to be a prostitute anymore. She was very well educated.
So she was trying to get out.
Well, she was well educated, but a lot of horrible things happened to her in college and things, you know, horrendous things happened to her, which led her to that. And then she was trying to get out. And one of the scenes was she was with a group. Some sort of group, nonprofit group that was trying to help her out. And she went to a job interview, and the guy that was doing the interview made a pass at her. So it did deal with some pretty heavy situations that do exist, and probably this prejudice.
Where does Medea come into that, though?
I think Medea is supposed to be like the comedic relief.
Well, she was at the jail that this prostitute was end up sending. Mm. She had been sent to, and she had gotten she kept getting arrested for just ridiculous things because she's Medea and just doing whatever she wants.
It's so profound of a movie. Why is literally every single advertisement just showing Tyler Perry getting in deep shit in like the funniest possible way?
Because that's what people go to, I guess.
Oh my gosh, it's a surprise, like, important film. It's like, can you imagine if it was like if Schindler's List was advertised? As this one comedy guy in the background that keeps, like, messing up while he's trying to mop a floor. But, like, every, like, after that scene, every, like, every 20 minutes, there's, like, this like, great 20 minutes of, like, just passionate, movie. And then, like, there's, like, 3 minutes of, like, this guy slipping on a floor he's trying to mop. And they just advertise it only as the mop movie. But, like, you're all like, wow, this mop movie is really heavy.
So Tyler Perry,
he was not intending for this information to get out. So he actually went to the Walmart in Walmarts in Atlanta, and he paid off like everyone's layaway. He dropped $430,000.
Is that kind of like how John Oliver went and bought a bunch of people's debt?
Yeah, just similar like that. But you know, no one talks about that anymore because what has John Oliver done for us lately?
Epic action movie
with wax figures.
With wax figures,
yeah. What has he done for us lately?
I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, those wax figures are pretty cool.
I'm talking about the Tyler Perry thing.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure the wax figures thing is pretty cool, whatever that is. But I don't know. That's like a really nice gesture.
So apparently,
especially since, like you said, that he wasn't trying to get any recognition for it.
Apparently, one of the workers had like let it slip, and it was going to basically go out in the news. And so Tyler Perry like came out and said, "Okay, it's being talked about. So yeah, I did do this. Merry Christmas."
Right.
And he paid out everything except for a penny. So like, I hope so those families have pennies.
That's so rude.
What do you mean?
Just one person has to pay a penny.
You mean I have to get a penny? I don't have any pennies. Quick, run around the parking lot, look for that change.
Wait, can I give you a dollar? No, we can't make change.
It has to be a penny. But like he literally just made a lot of families' lives easier for their Christmas.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's nice to see people give back like that. Yeah.
I love hearing stories like this around the holidays.
Yeah. And somebody else did something along the same lines.
Well, so this second part really kind of hits me as, like, bandwagoning.
Ah.
Because, like, so Tyler Perry didn't come out and, like, I'm going to tell you this stuff. Tyler Perry did this, and then someone literally let it slip to the news. And then Tyler Perry came out and was like, hey, I'll be honest, I did do all this. Like, it's true. So, and this is really important to realize, Kid Rock was booted from being the Grand Marshal of the Nashville Christmas Parade because on Fox and Friends, he called The View co-host Joy Behar a bitch.
Well, is she a bitch? That's my question.
Well, let me just put this right out there.
You probably shouldn't call women.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yes.
You probably shouldn't call
it's The
call
View,
women.
Justin.
I don't know.
It's a safe bet.
It said View co-host.
Look,
so
okay,
implying that he was on The
bitch,
View.
If you're being a bitch, being called a bitch, warranted.
I will say this. Joy Behar...
You should not call women the B word.
Joy Behar can be a little bit extra.
Okay,
like,
but...
hands down, she can. There's no question about it.
You can... I strongly feel... I mean, it's not like it's the C word or anything like that. Just I strongly feel that if you're being a bitch
still...
and someone calls you a bitch, you aren't being called a bitch.
No, it's still a word used to like, put women down.
Well,
so,
can
like,
we just
let's get rid of that word.
First of all, I call more men bitches than I call women bitches.
I call men
See,
bitches,
oddly
too.
Oddly enough, I'm more okay with that.
But why? It's,
I don't know.
If the term is derogatory towards women in general, and using it toward a guy still makes it derogatory towards a woman,
the term has
why
a
is
long
it okay?
history of being used to diminish women, of being used to say that, well, whatever a woman does, whatever sort of personality or activity a woman has that you don't find okay, well, you know, she's just being a bitch, so whatever.
I don't know, Rachel. I think Rachel needs to weigh in on this.
I kind
Rachel,
of,
please.
First,
she agrees with me.
There's no, I'm not with you. First of all, there hasn't been a chance for me to break in. I'm trying not to talk over anybody.
Well, that's why we stopped.
Justin, it has a long history. I think it's when you call men bitches, you're probably comparing them to women. It's like if you called a man a pussy, you're comparing him to a woman in order to degrade him. It's specifically against women.
Pussy has nothing to do with women. Pussy has to do with pussinilius, which is basically something that is shrills away or weak.
No,
originally it became attributed to the vagina because they were attributing the vagina to being weak and fearful, but it had nothing specifically to do originally the word and the usage.
Okay, but that's not how we use it now,
towards...
so that's irrelevant.
Yeah, no, yeah, 100%. 100%.
But that's also not how we use bitch now, if you want to go to the same way. We use bitch more to convey... hey, you're being kind of a piece of shit right now, and I want to point that out.
No, but
it has nothing to do with being derogatory toward female.
But
anymore.
It's still used as not derogatory. I mean, yes, derogatory, but not. It's
not
still used to take whatever behavior that you find objectionable in a woman and put it in a box.
Well, it's attributing women's activities to be that of a yelping dog, and then it's basically then used later to be used to. Attribute the fact that a woman is like a yelping dog to a man. And now it basically is just used the same way like men use, or I would say kids use the word gay in like the 90s and early 2000s, where it was like just a negative, like connotated phrase.
Right.
So I mean like,
right.
it's literally like 3 years away from having no meaning whatsoever than just word vomit someone says because they need to say a word like lol. But, I mean,
I don't think you can remove bitch from its misogynistic history unless we are completely void of misogyny, and we're not.
I mean, I think that's a fair statement, 100% honest.
Yeah.
I am
Katie's
actually
nodding.
Looking up...
Katie's nodding.
I'm actually looking up etymology for the word pussy.
Mm-hmm.
Pussinellius is one of the thoughts of it. There's no real 100%. This is definitely where it came from. That's one of them, the one that Eric stated. There's another one where it's the theory suggests that it originally came from an Old Norse word, puss, which means pocket pouch.
Which
is pretty awesome. And it has a little blurb about cunt, which is also funny. Slang term for vaginas dates back to 1250. First use of the word cunt appeared, English street word that came from the very unfortunately named Gropa Cunt Lane, a province known for its sex workers.
This street was called Gropa Cunt Lane before there were street workers?
It was a street word that was a province. And the province was known for having sex workers.
That came first? The province came first?
So I'm sorry. Both of my little sisters are on this podcast with me, and I'm feeling very uncomfortable.
Sorry, that's...
Can we move on to another topic?
That province thing is new to me. That is... But here's
I'm happy that you can find a new etymology for a horrible word.
Well, I love etymology's word, but first of all... I want you to realize that while the whole pocket pouch thing is interesting...
That's hilarious.
It's hilarious. But if you think about the fact of why we started calling cats pussycats, it does tie in closer to the idea of them being like skittish and like scared.
Probably and then more cowardly, yeah.
And then basically that gets them thrown towards vaginas because they were hairy. So they were basically like it was skipping from cats being scared to vaginas looking like cats to, you know, pussies being that. So I mean,
the article does continue to say, considering that when pussy popped up in regular dialogue around the 16th century, it didn't have a sexual connotation at all. In fact, it was used as a term of endearment to describe women in general and didn't actually get sexual until the 19th century.
Huh. Interesting.
Etymology.
I love etymology.
I had a thought I wanted to say about Kid Rock. Doing it.
Well, he's a horrible person.
You were saying he was like bandwagoning. He was just trying to make some good credit for himself after
to make up for the bad credit. Yeah.
My thing about like good deeds from celebrities, though, is for the most part, even though they're doing it just for the credit, he still helped a lot of families. I'm just looking at how those families must feel.
I mean, he only spent 81,000. I mean, it's no Tyler Perry.
I'm sorry, 81,000 is still a significant amount.
That's still $81,000.
What I would specifically say about Tyler Perry, this is stealing a joke from Monica. Kid Rock. Kid Rock looks like Dr. Phil wearing a Kid Rock costume. that's Monica's joke. It's like Dr. Phil went to a Halloween party dressed as Kid Rock. It's bad.
Yeah, he does not look the same.
He did not age well.
No, he did not.
But it's so funny that Dr. Phil has, though.
Yeah.
No, Dr. Phil hasn't aged well. He just hasn't aged.
I know, because he doesn't have a soul.
Well,
you don't age if you don't have a soul.
He's reached his cap.
Wait,
there's a cap of how old you look, and then Dr. Phil has reached it.
There is no...
So the thing about...
I wish we could put a picture of your face on right now.
My issue about celebrities doing good deeds only because of the fact of, fixing press also relates to my idea about why I don't like corporations pretending to do good deeds.
Mm-hmm.
Because corporations are not allowed to do good deeds. They're not allowed to basically...
No, they can vote, Eric, and they can take part in elections.
No. So corporations are not allowed take their funds for their company... and give it to charity. They're not allowed to just straight do that. The reason why they can't is because the investors will be upset because they misused funds that are only used to make profits. However, the reason why corporations do make donations is because it's not for the sole purpose of doing a charitable good act. It's to get the press and the clout for having done the charitable act that increases the brand value of the company.
Sure.
So it's all basically just a giant plan to make the public believe they're doing good when they're also doing much worse other things
on
the other side.
The point that Rachel was making was that if people do good deeds, it helps someone, even if it helps the person who's doing the good deed more than the cost of what they're doing.
Let me ask you a question, Justin. This is just to put it on the edge in that way. If you had like let's say $200 worth of toys for your kids on layaway at Walmart, and you found out that Bill Cosby paid for your stuff. Now this is
today.
Bill Cosby paid for the goods at Walmart. Do you accept the payment for Bill Cosby
for
the goods?
How did he pay for them?
No, he's got lawyers. Or, like, he's trying to get good clout. You know what? That's okay. I'll buy my own toys.
No. But here's the thing. Like, you're going way too far over on the other side.
I'm just...
That's Bill Cosby. No, I would not accept a
So there's a
rapist.
Limit. There's a limit.
I wouldn't accept a convicted rapist's gift.
Right.
However, Kid Rock, who just is kind of a prick, if he paid for my kid's toys, I'd be like, okay, you know,
I wouldn't accept toys from Ryan Reynolds.
This is what kind of makes it kind of fucked
up. You just hate Ryan Reynolds.
I wouldn't accept it from Bill Cosby, but I would accept it from Marilyn Manson.
Okay, but Marilyn Manson's not a bad person.
He's a good guy.
No, but he's shock rock, and he's done all kinds
of
horrible...
Okay, but
what's
Marilyn
your point,
Manson
then?
Himself
okay,
is
I
not
would also accept
that,
it.
Okay.
Yes.
No,
yeah, he did do that.
I would also accept it from Charles Manson, though.
Whoa! That is going too far.
Is the vibe
except
I'm getting?
Bill Cosby.
Except Bill Cosby. So, I like the fact that Monica has put Charles Manson in front of Bill Cosby when it comes to like good guys. Even though Charles Manson has done
such
horrible things, including similar things
to
what Bill Cosby's
such
done.
Horrible things.
Oh, but it's more recent and fresh, and it burns a little more.
I just won't take
other topics.
He was a childhood hero for a long time. That's why it hurts. It's like a betrayal.
Wait, Charles Manson? Charles Manson or Bill Cosby? That's a big question.
Bill Cosby.
Okay.
Charles Manson.
So here's the thing about Bill Cosby, and this is not me basically like, you know, like end of the football, like end of the game, basically like touchdown, like celebrating all my good deeds.
Yay
literally,
sports, Eric.
Yeah,
yay
sports.
There you go.
This is me honestly saying, there was something about Bill Cosby that I couldn't 100% get behind.
Was it his milky white eye?
Maybe. No. There was something about him that, like, when I would...
Something creepy about him.
Yeah, when I, like, I get that weird feeling, though, from people sometimes.
Mm.
There's just something about him that just seemed off. I didn't trust
him. Too, like, formulated?
Legit. Yeah, like, it was very presented.
Yeah.
And then when you ever see someone like that who is... planned out like their moves and stuff.
There,
it's like
the only people that can detect that in people are psychopaths because you know what you're looking for.
Yeah. Did you end? I'm sorry. I'm waiting for your point.
That was the entire.
That
point.
Was the point.
Oh, okay. It seemed like there would be more
psychopaths.
Oh no. It's just you know explaining to the audience.
So I do want to talk about something real quick, and I'm doing this. This is not technically sponsored. But they are awesome, and they did give us free ice cream when we visited them. So I want to talk about After's Ice Cream. Now, I'm sorry, Rachel, you cannot enjoy After's Ice Cream because they are not located where you are. That's right. They can't have milk. You know, no, they have vegan ice cream, I think.
But, hey, you know, I was reading these two flavors, and they sound really good.
They sound really good. So Adult Swim partnered up with After's Ice Cream. By the way, After's Ice Cream is amazing. Monica and I tried them out at the Los Angeles Food and Wine Festival first. And then we found out about this. We're like, they're amazing. They partnered up with them, and they released two different flavors of ice cream for their locations, all stores. So you can go, they have Orange County, they have Los Angeles, they even have Riverside.
Alhambra.
They have a Alhambra, so you can stop by them if you like. They're really good, by the way, but don't want... Because I'm seeing you, Katie, shaking your head at the fact that there's more Rick and Morty.
I am so incredibly done with Rick and Morty.
It
follows me.
Katie,
like, I'm done with
Katie,
it.
I know one thing from Rick and Morty that you still love.
Shh, don't
eat it. It's Pickle Rick!
Shut
please.
It terrorizes me. And then my husband just thinks... His name is Randy for anyone out there, but he likes to just poke at me when we're out and about, and he says, "Oh look, there's another Rick and Morty. There it is. There's more. Just continually, yeah, Randy. This is against you, okay?"
So that being said, I am a fan of one Dan Harmon.
Yes, yes, I like Dan Harmon.
I'm a fan of all the people that are
He has mocked me.
Yeah, he has. He straight up mocked you, and I apologize for that. That's on me.
No, no, I'm okay with this.
And me and Clyde.
I don't know the story.
Okay, so they...
There's a recording in which Dan Harmon makes fun of Justin and attacks him for not going to Comic-Con where he could meet Dan Harmon.
Oh,
yes.
No.
Because Clyde and Eric were so angry that I didn't go to Comic-Con.
This year?
But we told Dan Harmon.
It was last year.
No, 2 years ago.
2 years ago. So,
we told Clyde
interviewed Dan Harmon and got Dan Harmon to say that my last name was terrible. And that I was terrible going to...
Okay, first of all, that last bit was... So we told Dan Harmon that we asked him to come and he didn't want to come. And Dan was like, who doesn't want to come to Comic-Con? And Dan Harmon agreed to leave a message to Justin to convince him to come to Comic-Con. And that was a bad move on his part. And so Dan Harmon starts going off on Justin and the thing. And then goes, what's his name? What's his full name? And hears Sooth and goes, what a stupid name.
Oh, no.
I'm like, that's my name too. And if you listen to the recording very carefully, you can actually hear me say that in the background. But that's my name. And he just went to town about how Justin made a shitty choice to not go to Comic-Con.
And despite all that, I still think Dan Harmon is a genius.
No, he's very funny. I think the only problem I have primarily with Rick and Morty can be a lot of the fans.
Absolutely.
Okay, yeah. But I mean, that has nothing to do with the creators.
No, I think their stuff is brilliant. It's shock comedy, but... It's shock comedy in a way that's done, I think, to showcase the fact that the shock is stupid.
But it's also Thinking Man's shock
comedy.
No, it's not. It pretends it is.
Going back to the fans, that's the reason I can't stand Rick and Morty.
Okay.
But,
like, I've only watched probably, like, 15 minutes of it, honestly. It's not my thing.
I've got an episode you
but
love,
it's
an
not your thing. You would not be... I know
I wouldn't be
you
hating
be
on
it.
But the fans have made me just... hate this show, and I wish it would end.
Toxic fan.
Oh yes, toxic.
It's very
toxic.
What were you saying, Rachel?
I said, oh no, that's all.
Yeah.
But so they partnered together because you know they are coming up with 70 episodes coming down the line, and they want to keep it fresh because they're probably going to do a surprise jump. And one of the things that was a major big love was their ice cream episode where they specifically went to the tiny verse, microverse, and there were flies in the ice cream. They did a little trailer thing in the middle of this previous season and the future coming season where they went and got ice cream. It ended up being like a VR test for Robot Morty that broke and all this kind of stuff. And so they decided to partner up with them and they had created two flavors. Now, these flavors are amazing. The first one is called Caramel Portal. Mm. It is green ice cream that's like multi-colored, so it like looks like the portal from Rick and Morty. It has marshmallows in it to give it that kind of like weird oblong kind of look to it, and then they put green apple Pop Rocks on top.
I'm sorry, I have to say that does not sound tasty.
That sounds
Monica?
Delicious. That sounds
it's,
so good.
The apple works so well. It's like eating a caramel apple is basically the kind of the feel you get from it.
Ugh.
It's like almost like molecular gastronomy.
It tastes more like caramel ice cream than it does apple.
Okay.
So it's...
The other one sounds really good.
The other one is super rich. And that is the dark batter, brownie batter that comes with brownie bits, fudge. And then here's the cool thing. They literally sprinkle on top these sugar flakes that are cut to look like stars.
It is
cute as hell. If you go on our website, we actually have pictures up of the ice creams, and it literally look like stars.
Nice.
It's awesome.
See, this all sounds amazing.
It's really good.
But I'm so just against Rick and Morty that I can't support
it. Go to Afters and order any of their flavors except for those two.
They have this flavor specifically.
So good.
They have
you
a flavor.
You can still order it even if you don't like it.
I know, but it just irks me. Like, it just hits my soul.
They have Japanese milk tea, which is awesome.
I love Japanese milk tea.
They also, my favorite one there, though, is their cereal milk ice cream. It's ice cream that's sweetened to the point where it kind of tastes like milk tastes like when you drink it out of the bowl after the cereal's gone. So it's like the sugar from the cereal slime.
I'll be honest,
and for the vegan people out there, they do have a vegan flavor.
Yeah.
It's called Choco Monster. It's only available in a couple of locations.
Which ones?
Yeah, which one?
So it's going to be Woodland Hills, Sherman Oaks, Costa Mesa, and San Diego.
Rachel, when you come visit us here. We'll go to Woodland Hills to Apples.
Yeah, let's do that.
It's in January or February?
January.
Awesome, because they have the Rick and Morty flavors until February.
Okay.
I wanted to throw that out there.
Right.
But yeah, no, so I just want to give them
so
a little bit of a...
trip next month? Awesome.
I want to give a little bit of a shout-out about this because it's... They are really good. The pricing is pretty good for the quality of the ice cream. They have amazing staff. And by the way, if you're looking for a party in like Los Angeles area and you want to throw like a little party,
yeah.
You can actually
ice cream
rent
party.
Them out an ice cream party. It's like a little over $500. They send one person there with enough of three different flavors to feed 50 people.
Hmm.
It's really cool. That's a good price for like a party. That's not bad. For
okay.
50 people?
Yeah. No, that's not bad at
that's
all.
That's not bad at all. I mean, that's
worth
it. I don't
know party prices.
Or,
they're expensive.
Head, basically,
or if Eric's involved, it's for really 25 people.
It's 25 people, to be honest. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just putting that out there. moving past, let's talk about... well, we can't get past talking about Marvel. I mean, the biggest thing that hit this month so far has been...
Endgame?
The Endgame trailer. Which, by the way, if they were trying to... like. Oh yeah, we had a really sad last movie. Let's pep up the fans a little bit, give them a little bit something to look forward to.
Oh no.
No, right into sorrow.
Oh,
yeah. Iron Man's dying.
I'm sorry, here's some math. Let's twist that a little bit.
Oh yeah.
Ooh. Oh then here's some
they
salt.
Even, let's push
here's
that
some
in.
Salt
let's,
on
they
there.
Even dusted the Marvel title just to remind you that everyone's dead.
Yeah.
Right before they showed pictures of the dead people.
Yeah.
They also released in the trailer that Shuri's dead. That was something they didn't show in the movie.
Yep.
Who's dead?
Yeah. Yep.
Shuri,
yeah,
Black Panther's.
That
oh no!
Weren't shown whether they were alive or dead. And
yeah.
Yep, that
a lot
messed
of it was
me.
Confirmed in the trailer.
Yeah.
I didn't notice that until Randy brought it up afterwards. I'm like, thanks, thanks for crushing my joy. Like, because
like at least there's
not
another Black
that.
Panther, right? Because you just do the sister does it.
Yeah, I still think what would happen? Like, he paged Captain Marvel. What happens if she was one of the ones that was dusted? Like,
she wasn't on
happens.
Earth, right? Wasn't it only the.
But obviously, no, it was the whole galaxy.
Yeah.
It's
half of everything.
One,
actually. Yeah.
Got the other one.
It's supposed to be all of existence.
So, after people watch the trailer and the idea of...
Oh, by the way, I was spared by Thanos. I don't know if you guys did that.
I was not.
You were what?
There was a site for, like, right after Infinity War.
Oh, yeah. I was spared as well.
I didn't
yes.
check that out. I didn't know
spared.
About this.
Oh,
but...
I was not
so...
spared. Oh, snap.
Oh, I
dang, why am I the only one, like, that's off, you know, not
so
paying attention?
I was... So the Twitterverse specifically went crazy when they saw this, and they immediately started harassing NASA about how are we going to bring our boy home? NASA, help us out here. And so NASA actually responded.
Wait, NASA, okay, so first off, what I heard about this is that first off, NASA actually sent out a response saying, listen, we don't know anything about saving people from space. Please stop harassing us about this. But then they rolled into this.
Like, hey, Marvel, we heard about Tony Stark. As we know, the first thing you should do is listen in Mission Control for Avengers. We have a problem. But if you can't communicate, then we recommend ground teams use all resources to scan the skies for your missing man. NASA is responding to pop culture, and I love it.
Oh, sure, yeah. But, I mean, they have to keep themselves relevant.
Well, I think whatever they're paying that person who does their media team, they are not paying them enough.
Yeah, really?
For sure.
It's like the calls to the Obama administration to build the Death Star, and then the
the response.
Right. The White House Budget Office, I forget what it's called, sent out a thing saying that, you know, first off, the price would not be good enough, and second off, the White House is not in the business of destroying planets. And
they
yeah,
even commented. They even commented
like
about the weakness of a. Like, we never build a project with a clear, obvious flaw as an unguarded exhaust port.
Right. But it's fun when the government, you know, plays along.
Well, yeah, because, you know, nerds are everywhere.
Right.
And they won't go away.
You know, but...
They've tried.
What I'm thinking about is the people at NASA are probably pretty big nerds, honestly.
Oh, no.
Like,
did you absolutely. See them when they were high-fiving, when they landed the Curiosity
oh,
rover?
Yeah.
That one guy with the mohawk became, like, instant, like, celebrity.
It was...
I mean, absolutely. You don't get into that job unless you are.
Yeah. So, you know, someone was super excited they got to talk about Marvel
yeah.
well at their day job.
Right.
Probably made someone's year.
And also, it makes for a good educational opportunity. Like,
yeah.
You know, how far away is Tony Stark? How long would it take for him to get back to Earth?
Get
not
kids into
any
STEM.
Not way, any way possible.
I mean.
All right. Just crush all our dreams, Eric.
No, just if that ship does not have, like literally the speed it's traveling would not make it back to Earth before he dies.
No, obviously.
Yeah.
Okay, but you could have kids do the calculations
up.
For this.
Well,
just
no,
open
I'm,
the door and let the air in. I mean,
okay.
Damn.
I'm pointing out Voyager Science. 1 has just left our heliosphere. Voyager 1 launched in 1978. 40 years later, it just left the solar system.
Well, the problem is they entered into a wormhole, and they basically got to uncharted space. And Janeway didn't know what she was doing, to be honest. She should never have been captain. She did good with what she had to at the time, but...
Are you saying that she didn't have the qualifications because she's a woman?
No, she didn't have the qualifications because she wasn't trained.
That's so sexist.
Yeah,
she did amazing work for what she did. Let's not mince words. She kicked butt and she took the Borg down once and for all. If it wasn't for her, we're talking about the same Voyager, right?
So, I'm just going to say I always support women in positions of authority.
That's sexist.
But I have no idea who this Janeway is.
So obviously you don't always support
Yeah, clearly you're not supporting
clearly
her.
Clearly you're not supporting.
I support Janeway. I think that she probably did a good job.
She did do a good job. That wasn't my point.
Okay.
I'm just saying, like, you know, no one on that crew was qualified for anything they
were
doing.
I'm just saying that it's probably not Janeway's fault that it took them years to get back to our quadrant of space.
Their first in command was a terrorist.
Sure. I'll be honest, I've never watched
The Bashar that. Never should have been first in
I
command.
I have no idea what
Just
putting
that right there.
About.
It's a Star Trek thing.
Yeah, I also agree. I don't know what's happening.
I'm sorry, you mentioned Voyager, and I just thought it was a good idea to use my nerd cred.
Yeah, your nerd cred was, like, right on display.
Right? It was good, right? It was
really
solid.
On display.
I don't know.
On display for all to hear.
I'm going to let Rachel pick the next topic, because it's not often that we have a call-in, so I'm going to let her pick it. What do you want to talk about, Rachel?
I want to talk about this Brightburn movie.
Oh, that's a good choice.
Because
Katie is
when
not
I
happy.
Went to watch the trailer, I typed in Blackburn instead, which I guess is a horror movie from 2016. And I was like, what the hell am I watching? This does not sound at all like what he said it would be.
That's not on me.
Wait. So what's Blackburn about?
I don't know. It's some people, and they're like, we're trying to get to our cabin. Like, the road's caved in, and the cop is like, you got to turn around. They're like, are you kidding me? And then, like, the gas station is out of gas. They're like, are you kidding me? And just...
Did you watch the whole movie, or did you watch the trailer? Because you're, like, giving a synopsis of the film.
And I was like, wait,
well, those trailers these days are just explanations of the movie.
So I finally just...
Monica, you cannot attack modern-day trailers. Have you seen the original trailer for Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
Look,
it's literally like, who will die? And it shows all the characters dying. It says, who will live? And it shows the main character escaping in the end. And it's like, dude, that's like... Why am I watching the movie?
I just saw the movie.
Yeah. Like, that was how trailers worked back then, instead of this modern-day thing where they don't show actual clips from the movie.
So the premise of Brightburn seems to be, what if a child from another planet fell into...
What if Superman was evil?
Right. What if Superman was a bad guy? And just by his very nature was just a bad guy. And it looks kind
of
fascinating.
More of a bad guy, you mean?
Okay, we're not going to go into this again.
Superman is a monster.
Superman's not a bad guy.
He's a bad guy.
No.
The real monster.
We discussed this in the last DC versus Marvel thing. He's not a bad guy.
He was just raised terribly.
He's just not written very well.
He was just raised
not
by a terrible
guy. Man of Steel Superman
he
was a bad guy.
He wasn't raised well. Let those children die.
That was Man of Steel
the
Superman.
The true enemy of the DCU is Pa Kent. He is the real villain. Like, the shit he said is like nothing. Like, poor Lex Luthor, like, half the things, like, the horrible things he did doesn't even, like, amount to just 1 second of screen time with Pa Kent.
They should bring Kevin Costner back as Darkseid.
Oh, my gosh. He always was Darkseid?
He was Darkseid the whole time.
Oh, that's perfect.
He was trying to, like, groom Clark into being his Darkseid junior.
Let the children die. Now that you've let the younglings die. Excellent. What was it, Mark? What was that thing that I say all the time, and that always reminds me of the Emperor Palpatine with the kill the younglings?
I don't know. Is it kill the younglings?
Do it.
Do it.
Do it. Every time I think of do it, I just think of that wrinkled old bird face. Do it.
I feel like we're getting very much off topic.
I think we kind of covered the topic. It's literally a movie of if Superman was a serial killer.
No, the actual topic, Eric.
No, the funny thing is that's actually an actual ongoing plot line in a lot of comics. There's actually quite a few comics where what if Superman, like, decided to become evil?
Yeah.
You have Hyperion from Marvel. You have, what was it, Irredeemable?
Well, that was kind of a lot of the thought process in Watchmen, was like Dr. Manhattan's our friend, but the idea that, what's his name had in the redo of the movie, not the actual original story in the comic books,
Adrian
was,
Pate.
What? The recent movie where the idea was that Dr. Manhattan went against the people,
well,
now he's enemy number one.
Sure, sure. And I felt like that was clumsily handled, especially since in The Watchmen, the whole thing was, how can you expect somebody who's so far above humanity to think anything like a human? And that's kind of the question of Superman. Like, how can you expect somebody with that level of power and abilities to think in any sort of way like a human? Or to
avarice.
Emphasize with humans.
Avarice.
I'm sorry?
Avarice. To answer your question, how can someone think that Superman like functions and thinks like a human being? It's because of avarice. It's because you believe that all things out there are measured on the same standard as you are.
It's not avarice. Avarice is greed.
Maybe I'm wrong on that then.
Yeah.
What is it? What's the term then? If it's not avarice, there's something similar to that. It's a term like that.
No, like a term like, I don't know.
You know what I mean? It's,
no, I know what you're talking about. I don't know.
There's a term specifically dealing with the idea of like you
anthropomorphizing.
No, that's not the term I'm looking for, but that's good enough. Yeah. But yeah, it's the idea that you believe that everything else is like you.
Right. It's like humans.
It's like your only point of comparison is yourself.
Ooh. No, it's gone.
Fair enough. But yeah, no, but the general idea is that like the movie, it looks interesting. It looks a little bit too dark for the sake of being dark for me.
Mm.
Like, I don't think I want to watch it, but I'm willing to watch the trailers, and if it gets better, I'll try it out, but...
I think I'm going to go check that out.
Yeah?
I am going to tell you right now, it's a pass for me.
What do you think, Rachel? Are you going to watch it?
Okay, but any horror movie is a pass for
me. Yeah, that's true.
So when I was reading about it, it didn't sound that interesting to me, because it's kind of like, oh... What if this man was violent? And I'm like, men are always violent. That's not worthy of a movie. But the trailer looked pretty interesting. I'd probably watch it.
I mean, I would watch it on Netflix.
I
know,
she's
right?
She's a gorgeous woman. I'm just going to throw that
off,
out.
First off, I had a crush on Elizabeth Banks before that was, like, popular. And second off, I'm a little offended by the whole, like, men are always violent. In fact, I think I'm angrily, like, upset about that.
Justin, will you please stop knocking the table over?
I've covered like so many times.
I mean, I think it was covered the best in Space Odyssey 2001, where the monkeys apes discover tools with bones, and then immediately thereafter club one of the other ones to death with it. I mean, that's pretty much like, you know, mankind is, we designed tools to help us, and then we use those tools to kill each other. That's pretty much humanity.
Yeah.
In a nutshell.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, what else are you going to use a tool for?
I mean, you know, eating? Like, the first person that invented the fork was like, this thing is amazing. I can then use it to eat food easier. And it's all like, yeah, but what if I threw it at somebody?
No. The fork comes from the first
and
person
then the
tried
it was
spear.
Made.
And then the first person to use a spear picked up something with the spear and was like, huh, I don't actually have to touch the thing that I'm eating.
No, you're thinking
I'm gonna
about...
I'm going to make a small version of this so I can, like, hold it closer to my hand.
You're thinking of the invention of hot dogs on a stick.
Yeah. The spear.
Yeah. That's not a fork, though.
And it was literally a hot dog on a stick.
No, I don't like the way this is going.
We're
moving on to the
dog.
Next topic. I would never eat a dog. Unless, like, you know, it was already prepared and I was in another country in which it was socially acceptable.
I don't think I can.
I did not. First of all, before you give me that grimace, I did not mention a specific country. I was saying in Brazil they eat gophers, right?
I think it's guinea pigs.
Guinea pigs, sorry, guinea pigs. Like,
that's actually through a lot of South America.
Yeah, so I'm just saying like that's socially acceptable. I would eat a guinea pig. I wouldn't eat one here.
Okay,
but if I was in like Brazil,
I
eat
could
one.
Not. I don't think there's a situation in which I could eat a dog unless I was literally starving.
Yeah, but you weren't raised in a culture where you eat dogs, so that's why.
That's true.
Okay, but
I would specifically say, if you're in a situation in which you're starving to death, you've now raised the bar on this scenario, because what we were talking about is that we were in another country,
sure,
like with money in our pockets, yeah, enjoying ourselves. You now are in the United States of America, starving to death. A dog walks by. You're so hungry,
hell,
you
yeah,
kill
no,
that dog and eat it.
I absolutely... Okay, if I was
this
starving
is darker.
To death, if I was starving to death and a dog walked by, and there is no other source of food within, like, reach, yeah, I would kill and eat a dog.
What about your arm?
Why would I eat my own arm before I ate a dog?
I don't know. The dog's cute.
My arm's pretty cute.
Plus, you have to kill the dog.
Okay.
You're a monster. Put that right out there. Let's talk about Nick Cannon and how he's a piece of shit.
All right.
That's kind of leading.
Well, so here's the thing. Nick Cannon used to be really cool. I used to like Nick Cannon a lot. He was married to Mariah Carey. He just seemed like he was just, like, so in love with Mariah Carey, even though she was, like, twice his age. Like, who gave a shit? Because they were happy together. And then they fell apart, and then Nick Cannon's brain fractured, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Because Nick Cannon after Mariah Carey is, like, an entirely different person than Nick Cannon was with Mariah Carey. Does that make sense? You tracking that?
Sure. I don't know a lot about Nick Cannon, so...
Yeah, if you're a Nick Cannon, if you're on the blogospheres for Nick Cannon, like, that is tracking. I just want to put that out.
He was on Nickelodeon when I was a kid.
I know, right?
Yeah.
It was really funny because they had Nick Cannon. And Nick Cannon was there. You remember?
So, the reason why Nick Cannon would ever be in the news again is because he's stirring a pot of controversy. Because it's not like he made new music or anything.
Yeah, you know.
Right.
Being a shit kicker.
So, or is it, it's not like he's in a new show or anything because he's like unhireable. But Kevin Hart. Now, I want to put this out there. I don't like Kevin Hart. It's not because I don't like Kevin Hart as a person. I just don't find him funny. His voice is annoying.
Is it because he's short?
No, it doesn't do with the fact that he's short. I don't like tall people, Monica. No, but I just don't find him funny. And he makes like 7 movies a year. And I'm all like, enough with the Kevin Hart.
But you like Tyler Perry?
No, I like Tyler Perry as a person. I don't want to watch his My Day movies.
Madea.
I'm sorry. Are you guys ordering French food or something?
He's really struggling with that.
You should hear me say Kahunga.
It's so, Kahunga.
Although I can't say that word either.
Had to step down from hosting the Academy Awards.
Yeah.
Because there was a backlash about homophobic tweets that he had made,
yeah,
what, 10 years ago?
Yeah, here's the problem with comedy. And I'm not condoning this, but literally to have been...
10 years ago, everything was...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. To be a relevant comedian 10 years ago, you had to have made, like, 12 gay jokes. It was just... Remember what I said earlier, that in the 90s and early 2000s, like, all teenage boys or teenage people were using gay as a negative, like, derogatory term about anything.
Yeah.
Without even, like, thinking about the meaning.
If he was still doing it, like, I would say even as far back as 5 years ago, then, yeah, give him shit, but... 10 years ago, that was super common slang.
But
wasn't the
issue that somebody brought it up to him and he refused to apologize, just kind of doubled down on it? Like,
he didn't take responsibility
for it.
So he already had apologized for that several times in the past. And so they basically came at him and said, you need to apologize again. And, like, Kevin Hart literally had said, like, look, I'm not going to apologize for this again. I've already apologized for this countless times. It's not who I am anymore. I don't want to give this any, like, heat because I don't want, like, this to really be in the news or anything. I don't think it's newsworthy. Like, if the people who are, like, looking at... He even, like, kind of said this to this degree. I'm paraphrasing. But, like, if the people who are looking so deep into my past saw me make those comments, if they paid a little more attention on the way to those comments, they would have seen me making apologies for those comments already.
Right.
Like, but they passed by that to go to the comments because that's where the rage is.
But the main thing here is that Nick Cannon has shown old tweets from Amy Schumer,
he wanted to basically,
Sarah Silverman, and Chelsea Handler that also used homophobic language.
He wanted to...
in, like, some bizarre defense of Kevin Hart.
Yeah. He just specifically wanted to, you know, bring attention to the fact that it's not the only people that have done it.
Sure. I mean, okay, so...
The point that I'm trying to make, the only thing I'm trying to say, is that with regards to... he wasn't involved. Kevin Hart already basically covered his bases.
Sure.
He'd already basically... He bowed out because he didn't want to deal with the shit because his life is more important. The things he's doing in his life are more important than whatever this bullshit people are trying to throw at him.
Right.
He had kind of moved away from it. Like, it was done.
Sure.
Like, there was no, like, coming back to it, because Kevin Hart was more upset at the fact that the Oscars, the Academies, were coming at him and being all like, you need to apologize. He's like, dude, I've already apologized. Why are you trying to fuck with me about this shit? It's like, I don't, if you're going to basically play this other side, I'm out. And so then fucking Nick Cannon comes out and is all like, he's not the only one. There's also these people, too.
So,
and he pulls out things, and like, this is fucking like, one of these is more than like 6 years, like in the distance.
I have a couple of thoughts on this. So on the whole thing about, like, if it's true that Kevin Hart apologized for these,
mm-hmm.
then it really bothers me that they're being brought up again. Because the problem is people do make mistakes. They do say stupid things. Social mores do change. The culture in which you live does change. And if we can't ever, if we're held to the standard of everything we've done throughout our lives, and there's no amount of apology that can make up for what we've done, then what's the point of ever changing? What's the point of ever trying to be better?
Let me
finish on that. And it's the same problem I had with James Gunn being fired over like comments he had made that he had since apologized for that were way back in the past. Like, if somebody says something horrible now and stands by that comment, then yeah, like, fire them. But something somebody said 10 years back, that's just, I don't know, that seems ridiculous.
Right.
But then,
first of all,
the thing that bothers me about Nick Cannon is the whataboutism. Is whenever somebody does something horrible, somebody else is like, well, what about blah, blah, blah. And you're like, well, that's not the same thing. We're not.
So James Gunn never apologized prior about his prior tweets until they called him out on it.
He had apologized. He had said that that's not what he was.
He apologized when they brought it out to him about it. He didn't apologize beforehand. And like, it was like it was being rehashed again. A second point is, my philosophy about it is, it's forgive, but don't forget. And here's the reason why. If Kevin Hart made homophobic comments, and he apologizes for it, he says, that's not my life anymore. Okay, I forgive you, Kevin Hart. But if Kevin Hart makes some like actions that kind of look fucking homophobic, right? I'm all like, I'm not forgetting the fact that you said that shit. Like, you can try to say, like, oh, it wasn't that I was hating on the gays. Like, but dude, you've said shit in the past,
buddy.
You
have said homophobic.
Actually, you haven't changed.
I like that policy.
It's like, you haven't changed. Look at this shit over here. I'm remembering it.
Okay.
I'm moving past it for, like, now. But when you fucking do anything that goes back into that realm, I got back to look at the color of what you're doing.
Right.
And that's my mentality towards shit like that.
Oh, what do you think, Katie?
I'm trying to think about how I feel about things. Because, I mean, yes, like, we all do change. The problem I have is that hearing that Kevin Hart had come out and apologized before it became kind of, like, big news, that means that he has kind of grown and changed.
Yeah.
If you have these tweets and you don't come out and say, hey, this was wrong, and publicly made a statement, this is not appropriate or okay behavior, or okay words, you cannot say this because this is offensive and this is not right. Then I kind of see, okay, you have, you know, changed as a person. I don't know. I know Sarah Silverman had come out and said this was horrible.
It's even kind of more about, like, Sarah Silverman has straight up, like, she's gone on and on about the fact of, like, she looks back at the choices she makes and she grimaces at the things she's done. Like, it's not acceptable now. And she doesn't even make, like, excuses like, it was the time. It's like, for Sarah Silverman, she's literally said, like, it kind of makes me sick and sad.
Yeah,
the
like, it wasn't okay.
She's only the first one that, as of right now, has responded to the fact that he brought this up. She, like, retweeted it.
Retweeted what she had tweeted, basically, saying, this is horrible.
Retweeted hit the tweet, basically attacking her for making these comments in the past. Kind of like, yeah, I'm not running from this. This is shit I've done.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I, it's right there. Judge me as you want.
And I mean, I don't know about Chelsea Handler or Amy Schumer.
Neither of them, I don't like either of them.
And I honestly cannot stand Amy Schumer. And I think she's not an okay person, in my opinion.
Well, Amy Schumer and Chelsea Handler, to a degree, are both shock comedians. They, more Amy Schumer than Chelsea Handler. But their mentality is that they want the joke at whatever the cost, usually. So, like, it's not really off-brand for Amy Schumer.
Yeah, which makes me just not like her at all.
The funny thing about this is that someone had said, like, the person that, like, I don't appreciate the things that Kevin Hart said because I felt them to be kind of offensive and harassive because of who Kevin Hart was and the way he was saying it. But the tweet specifically that Nick Cannon references, he says that even during these times when these things were said, they never felt that these were harassive or aggressive, because even at this time when they were saying these things, they were allies to the LGBT community. Like Sarah Silverman, like, and Amy Schumer and Chelsea Handler were helpful. They were basically supportive. And it wasn't like, hey, I'm using this to be aggressive. It was more along the lines of, like, you just said these words, like, in the 90s and the 2000s, because that's just what,
like,
people said.
They're stupid jokes because
that was the style.
Jokes.
But it was
but their actions were being allies.
Yeah. So, like, it didn't really have the same sting as Kevin Hart's statements.
Right.
So that's, like, what I've heard, like, a buzz in the background on the interwebs about that.
Rachel, what do you think about this?
I don't know. I kind of agree with Katie that people need to come out and apologize and make it clear that they don't believe these things anymore. I also agree that we shouldn't be chasing down things from years and years and years ago, because then you never get better.
But, you know, there's nothing wrong about any of that. I think we at the table.
I have a line. There's some things I can forgive and see what else people have to offer, and there's some things that I won't forgive, and that's just me personally. But I think it's stupid for Nick Cannon to bring up these other comments.
Yeah, he's not helping.
Irrelevant.
He's just trying to throw people.
They're terrible comments that people should be held responsible for, but we're not talking about Sarah Silverman or Chelsea Handler or whoever right now. We're talking about Kevin Hart.
Yeah. And the thing, though, like, I think most people basically were all like, okay, they were done.
Right.
I didn't really think this was still news when Nick Cannon threw this out.
Sure. Which is...
Because, like I said, Kevin Hart dealt with it the best way possible. And he's literally like, I don't want to play this game, guys. I've apologized. I'm done. Like, I'm moving away from this. You want to make a big fight? I'm not going to be in it.
Right.
And I thought that was the best way to handle it. Like, I'm the grown-up. I've got too many good things in my life to basically sit in the mud. So there's one last thing I want to talk about before we go. And it's Starbucks. So we haven't talked about this yet.
Starbucks.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
So the big thing. Oh, we got a little interjection there.
Hey, Tabitha is on the podcast for the first time.
But so everyone, like, the big thing about War on Christmas, I think it usually every year comes down to what Starbucks doing.
I think they had really tasteful cups this year.
Well,
I like the cups a lot.
They're great.
They're on the front line of the War on Christmas every year, because they are the biggest offender. They're like the general of the War on Christmas.
Usually I'm a little bit irritated by how Christmassy they are, but they were very, very tasteful this year. And last year
like,
they were very tasteful as well.
I would like to point out
really
that if Monica thinks that the cups were tasteful and done well, then it's probably a War on Christmas. Because Monica hates Christmas.
But here's my thing. Okay, so as someone who is a Christian, it's a lot of Christians that freak out. And I think if they put their energy that they're putting towards Starbucks, and it's not a ton of Christians, it's a very select few group of Christians that I would... Who are very loud, very legalistic, and I think if they were to put their energy towards helping...
The homeless,
helping...
Feeding the poor,
helping immigrants, helping all these people that the Bible
tells
you to help.
In other words, following the teachings of Christ.
That's not what Jesus taught. Capitalist.
Yeah.
Totally.
And screw the poor over.
Yeah.
Yep.
And steal stuff from people.
Take care of yourself before you.
Yeah, you know that was
else's.
That was the book of
shore up
European
your house.
White Jesus.
Shore up your house. Burn down your neighbors.
Yep. So it's these Christians that are just kind of being stupid.
Yeah, don't flip the tables on the merchants.
Yeah, we don't. We give them all of our money, and the rich get everything.
Money changers, take my money.
Yeah. Still curse the fig tree, because how dare it be out of season?
Oh, damn, right?
Every time.
She brings that up. That's her favorite Jesus story.
That one and the one with the bears being sent after the children.
My God.
We're not turning this into a fight against Christians.
My favorite story is the water to wine, because I'm a party. I like party Jesus. That's the Jesus
party
I like
Jesus
to think about. Is party Jesus, who comes in is all like, nah, this party's dying down. This party just started. Have some wine.
So let's get back on being classy.
You don't like Party Jesus?
Okay, Jesus did not do it to be Party Jesus. Sorry,
I'm just saying, like, he's letting the party keep going.
So, I agree with Katie.
He wasn't banging for the party?
Excuse me. It's a lot of people who have nothing better to do who bring this up as if it's some sort of cultural war. And I think, honestly, I think that, like, the war on Christmas is such a silly waste of energy. I can't believe it still gets mentioned in the press.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it just gets mentioned just because there's nothing. It's just an easy way to get a few lines.
It's easy way to get a lot of people like riled up and
right.
get people to look at it, because you have people that are, oh my goodness, how dare they? And then you have people who are like, this is really stupid. You know, you get views.
Right.
It's easy.
It's kind of a symptom of our society where we have to be constantly at war with each other over silly things.
Well, I mean, we do, though.
But no, we don't. We really should be talking about...
I like we do.
We really should be talking about things like, you know, where are the homeless going during, you know, December? How are we going to take care of our people?
Glendale, California.
Not whether Starbucks is being sufficiently Christmassy enough.
I can answer that question for one thing. So Glendale, California takes the... because they don't have homeless shelters in Glendale. But they take the, Army Reserve base they have there. They make it a temporary homeless shelter for a short term.
Mm-hmm.
So all the homeless people go there during the winter because it's cold outside in Glendale. And they have shuttles that take the homeless people from there to homeless shelters in Burbank.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a one-way trip.
Of course.
And they can't take any of their stuff. And so there's just giant amounts of shopping carts full of like stuff. And then they ship out all their homeless people out of Glendale.
Yeah.
Make it Burbank's problem.
That's
where the homeless go in Glendale.
So half of us sleuths all come from Lancaster, Palmdale area. And I'm not sure if it's still
half.
Something... Yeah, okay. Well, no, exactly half, if you count Tabitha.
She's only half a person.
So, in Lancaster, Palmdale, I don't know if it's still an issue, but oftentimes, various cities in L.A. would give homeless people a train ticket, a one-way train ticket to Lancaster.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
That's so messed up because it's so cold and windy there.
Oh, yeah. The idea was
they
just send them to Lancaster and let them be Lancaster's problem.
And Lancaster has a huge percentage of the homeless population, which they had to even fight to get equal
funding?
Yeah, equal funding from LA. And it's a huge problem. They open up, I think they're doing it this year again, but they open up the fairgrounds because it gets so cold in Lancaster at night. But it's this huge problem. And I mean, there are a lot of churches in Lancaster that are helping.
Yes.
I know the church that I used to attend, and now my mom and brother still, you know, the rest of them over there, they help out with different, a place called Grace Resources. Call out to those guys. Those
Grace
are great.
Chapel works with a nonprofit known as Grace Resources,
and they offer a lot of assistance to the homeless. So those are the good Christians. We're talking about the good Christians, because you know,
but,
not those crazy Starbucks people.
See, the point though, like that I would like to make is that rather than talking about a war on Christmas, we should be talking about, well, we're shuffling these homeless people around like they're hot potatoes. Why not find a way to get them homes?
All right, so. So I specifically wrote out about facts about the colored cups that Starbucks has this year and how people are still offended, even though they're very Christmassy, that you would like to derail the discussion of the table away from Starbucks and talk about serious, hard-hitting issues like the fact that states should be taking the money they're spending towards temporarily housing the homeless, investing that into long-term housing at low rent cost and putting all the homeless in it because it's a more cost-effective strategy.
Absolutely.
And has worked out, and several states have actually applied it.
Yeah.
And that we should basically be pushing as a nation, if not a state, those ideas and concepts to therefore take good care of our homeless and make sure that they're no longer homeless so they can basically have a good place to start from, which they can then use to allow themselves to get jobs and become... functional members of society, and then also because they're in a system, be able to get the care and need they have for mental disabilities or like PTSD if they are soldiers or even just regular day-to-day lives. You wish that we should talk about that instead of the cups. But I would like to point out as a counterpoint that I already just did that all in one breath, and now we can talk about the motherfucking cups.
Okay, well, I'm sorry. Hold on 1 second.
Were those clap, words? Clap, clap. I
really appreciated that whole, like, monologue.
Very succinct, right?
And I think that that's absolutely what we need to be doing. So, yes, because you said all of that, I will talk about the cups.
Because that was pretty succinct, though, right?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Get to the cups.
Are there candy canes or Christmas trees on the cups?
Oh my gosh.
Is holly on the cups?
Yes,
are
holly
there candy
very
canes
Christmas,
or Christmas trees.
Holly is not necessarily Christmas trees.
Are there candy canes or Christmas trees?
Those
stars,
cups.
Stripes,
war on Christmas.
Coffee cherries.
No candy canes,
red
no
and
Christmas
green.
Trees, war on Christmas.
That one cup there kind of looks like a sweater and it's red and white, so
war
there you
on
go.
Christmas.
But I just okay.
Very Christmassy cups.
I love the cups.
Very winter holiday.
Yeah.
Or Christmas trees.
Which I appreciate.
That's
that
it. War on Christmas. War on Christmas.
Okay.
Christmas
but
war,
honestly,
everyone. Christmas war.
Honestly, here's the thing. I don't like it when people do stuff like only Christmas is happening, like this time of year. Like, we forget about Hanukkah and Kwanzaa and whatever
winter solstice
and all these holidays that people are celebrating. That kind of gives respect to everything, that it's wintery and fun.
There are three holidays: Hanukkah, Christmas, and Krampusnacht. And Krampusnacht and Hanukkah are done way before Christmas.
Krampusnacht is already over.
Yeah, it's already over. So Hanukkah's going to be done way before. Most people you find me still almost over. It's already started though, but it'll be done before Christmas. But like, let's just talk about it. Like, who here celebrates Kwanzaa?
Me.
Well,
no, you don't.
How do you know? You wouldn't know.
I do know. I have a live feed into your room right now. There's no Kwanzaa celebration.
Oh God.
Yeah. Hanukkah ended on Monday. Hanukkah's done.
Really?
Also, I don't think Hanukkah is.
Are you going to start on Monday?
We have
starting on December
2nd.
We
have
2nd.
A giant
where
you were.
That's awesome.
It's still
that's
up,
cool.
So I assumed it was still on.
I think they just keep it up all winter because they only pay one person to come out there to set it up, and they pay one person to come take it all down.
Also, I want
to
point
no,
out
the point
Google's
they're trying to
website,
make.
If you Google Hanukkah, it does a whole page of just Hanukkah decorations.
Yeah, but they don't build iPhones.
Okay, my
that's
point.
Great.
My point.
That,
that
is awesome.
That
Congress
like
didn't know
Baltimore,
that.
Is that Baltimore put up the menorah, but they only had power for the menorah for one day.
But they lasted for 8 nights.
But the menorah is still up 2 weeks later.
Wow.
We actually, Hunter and I were talking about that. He actually had an assignment in which he learned about the battle in which the Hanukkah comes from.
The Maccabees.
And I literally am like sitting here going like, oh, I didn't know that.
Fucking fine. And
then,
you're
like,
teaching that in school instead of just every single thing.
Then
holidays that are not Christmas.
Then
right.
A month later, I'm literally sitting here going, what was that? What was that battle again? Like,
wow.
Cause like,
ask your child.
He don't remember either. Don't you pretend like he remembers?
He might.
He
remembers.
Well, I appreciate
okay,
that they're
what?
Teaching.
Somebody, because
it's not just Christmas.
It's really nice, and also finally, and still we have a long way to go.
Yeah.
Yes.
What?
But I'm also one of those people that I love Christmas. I love decorating for Christmas. I get really into Christmas. I think it's so festive.
I
love it. I get kind of truly into it. But
my Christmas decoration is literally a 4-foot pre-decorated light-up tree.
If I force her to put it out.
That I plug into a wall and go, done.
Here's the funny thing is that is too much like decoration for me. So me, I will put up probably nothing this year.
But
I was considering putting up a wreath. However, if
how
my
much
mom's
of
house...
That, how much of that is laziness versus desire?
80-20.
Where's the 80?
The laziness.
Okay, fair enough.
But if my mom's house is not decorated, I will flip a lid.
Okay, but going back to
you're
it.
You're so entitled.
I know, it's terrible.
You were privileged growing up. Anyways, but, you know, I love Christmas and I love celebrating it, but I'm not one of those people like, only Christmas, you know, Christmas, blah, 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 because, like, Christ wasn't born around this time. Like,
sure,
I'm
Christmas
like, the fun
Day,
of
though.
It.
Like, on Christmas Day, though, are you allowed to basically be all like, Christmas only? on the 25th? Because even if Hanukkah falls during the 25th, they still have 7 other fucking days.
But here's the thing, I celebrate Christmas because it's a tradition kind of thing, but I'm not like, oh my gosh, Christmas. Like, if someone says happy holidays to me, or like, you know.
Hanukkah. It comes at all times.
I'm just saying, like, let me have one of your 8 days to celebrate Christmas.
So, why can't you celebrate both?
Yeah, do both.
At the same time?
You can be multicultural.
First off, Christmas and Hanukkah have fallen on the same day, like, once in the last 20 years.
That's what I'm saying.
Like, so...
Just let me have that one day.
It's not a very
common thing. You've had your 8 days for
it's
the last 19 years.
You've had Christmas forever.
Just have 7 days
for
this
year. Yeah, for how many years now?
Forever. Forever many years.
But, Katie, on that whole, like, you know, happy holidays thing, is, as a waiter, like, you have to be very careful about that.
Oh, yeah, and retail as well.
Oh, yeah. So I do happy holidays, but if somebody says to me, like, you know, Merry Christmas.
I'm the same way.
Happy Hanukkah, I'll say, you know, Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah.
You know, I've actually stopped saying happy holidays also. I just don't say anything about any holiday until they say Merry Christmas or Happy Hanukkah.
I'm the same.
I don't even say anything.
So here's the thing.
I don't acknowledge a holiday is even happening.
I've had that blow up in my face, though, where, like, someone has said, like, basically, like, didn't say anything to me, I didn't say anything to them, and they're all like, they, like, go to someone and be like, he didn't even say Happy Christmas to me or Merry Christmas or Happy Holidays. Like, motherfucker, how am I supposed to know what you celebrate? I ain't up in your living room.
See, okay.
I'm only in Rachel's living room watching her what's going on.
I say Happy Holidays. If you don't celebrate a holiday, whatever. I'm just saying Happy December. Enjoy your vacation.
Wait, how is Happy December better than Happy Holidays?
Happy December?
No, I say Happy Holidays.
Only if you say Happy
Take
December.
Take it as Happy December if you don't celebrate any holidays.
But you say it every single month, Happy January.
I like this.
We should say that, though. Bring more joy into life.
Happy 2019.
One of those days that month, hopefully you're happy at least once. At least for 5 minutes.
Just start wishing people happy and the date that it is. So happy December 12th today.
That would be perfect, too. I mean, when people get insulted, it's another thing. I'm like, people, stop. Seriously,
yeah.
Like, the whole, like, when you freak out when someone's saying happy holidays,
well,
like,
okay.
Get over it.
Can I,
move on.
In defense of people that get offended really easily, I'd like to point out that that moment in which you're allowed to be offended about something can be the most, like, enjoyable moment of your day.
So what you're saying is for horrible people, it's a cathartic moment.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's very cathartic to be able to vent.
I have no interest in giving horrible people cathartic
When you have a bad day, and you go home and you're like, customers are the worst. And you talk about how, like, customers suck. But,
yeah.
Like, but not
I
all
like
customers suck, but you're just going off on it.
My guests are great people and never suck.
Uh-huh,
They're wonderful folk.
So when you, if hypothetically you were able to, do that. If you
I
were able to do that.
Recorded.
Doesn't it make you feel better, though? When you, like, you talk about it, like, oh, God, when you go,
no,
one is
no,
towards nothing and one is towards a person.
And like, scientifically... Complaining about things actually does not make you feel better about them.
I think swearing makes you feel better.
No, it doesn't.
Swearing actually is scientifically proven to help with pain management.
And also
swearing
processing
helps,
things.
Swearing is scientifically proven in the moment to help with pain management.
Yeah.
However, it does not help with emotional pain.
I want to point out that I gave birth with no medication and my only medication was cursing.
And also breaking my hand.
Sure. In that moment, it really helped you. However, in the long term, like
not to me.
Being angry and swearing doesn't help. I'm sorry, Rachel, what did you say?
Yeah, I said it was enjoyable.
Why
was it enjoyable?
Because I didn't want any.
Some women,
just
some crazy...
Medicine doesn't work on me.
Some crazy women go out there and say that giving birth is orgasmic, and I'm all like, who are these sex offenders, and how do we get rid of them?
I want to point out the only pain is from the contractions, and once you're allowed to push, it doesn't hurt.
You know, that's some bold words you're spitting out there. You're just, like, upsetting a whole bunch of pregnant women.
You know what?
Okay.
Like, here's our fax number.
I would like to point out she's been working out since she's given birth.
But just specifically saying...
She was mean before that.
There's something wrong with someone who specifically says that giving birth is orgasmic. That just sounds disgusting.
Maybe it was for them. I don't know.
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. There's something like something in your
you
closet that no one should see.
Are you like even allowed to comment on this?
Wait, allowed?
I think
guys aren't allowed to talk about.
Yeah.
First of
I think
I went down.
Wanted to give you permission to talk about this.
I went down to the I went down to the womanhood fraternity. I filed out forms AC3 and then also J15. I filed them in triplicate. They
Eric,
stamped it, and they sent me back.
J-1-5 can't be filed unless you get form B-12 filled out to give you permission to fill that other
form
out.
Oh, surprise, motherfucker. I did that, too.
Are you femsplaining him?
I'm just saying. I submitted those forms in triplicate. They were approved. I am fully authorized and permitted to speak about the subject of birth.
Except you didn't get
bullshit.
The final note, which is permission from your wife, and that has to be written down.
No. See, I got a form, I-32, that specifically negates you because you're not a feminist.
Anyway, aren't those forms all, like, California-specific? Because
But Rachel, you didn't fill out form I-39995, which specifically that gives you jurisdictional control outside of your current state.
She's 100% right because she's a woman. She doesn't have to have any forms filled out. She automatically has
in her jurisdiction.
State.
Yes,
she's currently
in her jurisdiction.
She's
no, see.
Can we call them girls vagina shins?
Okay, no, fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough on that one. You're 100% right on there. That's me, like, applying my man mentality towards juris vaginas. But I will specifically say that not all feminist views are the same from state to state, and that is why you have to get jurisdictional permission.
Not all feminist views are the same from feminist to feminist.
Exactly.
It's true.
That's why they have the statehoods that basically, sorry, state...
No.
Vaginas?
No.
I was just picturing like a giant.
Hey,
like
one.
Stop
it. Both my little sisters.
Stop it. Vaginas have hoods. Statehood stands.
Okay, so that's why they have the statehoods to manage and maintain.
Yes.
Oh,
and that's why you have to, even as a feminist, get permission to control a jurisdiction of another area.
Oh my goodness.
Because she's not
taking a weird
turn. She might
have
been born in the state of California, but when she left California, she lost jurisdictional control.
I really
no,
feel
it's
like
not,
we're
no,
in
no,
the
no. It's like a driver's license. She still has it. When she comes back, it's here.
Motherfucker, there is no such thing as dual feminism.
Wow. I don't even know what's going on right now.
Right?
I am so,
people who are, like, really into, like what's it called? Bureaucracies are just loving this moment right now. They're like, oh, shit, there's bureaucracy involved?
People who
I
really love
pro-feminism now.
Like, no. No, you would never do an A-12 form for that kind of thing.
Oh,
I
gosh.
Guarantee you that is not a listener that we
there
have.
There has to be a cross-section of people on the planet that love bureaucracy and feminism.
There's not a
and our viewers are like listeners.
Would they call it bureaucracy or would they call it herocracy?
What did you say, Rachel?
I said it's Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Oh, dude, if she was listening right
oh
now,
God.
I would be so happy. I love her.
Speaking
don't die. Don't die. Don't die.
Speaking
don't
of
die.
Her.
Don't die.
There is
die.
An art exhibit of her, and I
please
really want
to
go.
If you're listening to it, comment about everywhere Eric is wrong.
And that you're also
please,
healthy and alive.
Please, please, please.
Okay, I'm sorry. If Ruth Bader Ginsburg was one of our listeners,
I'd probably cry, to
yeah.
be completely honest with you.
Yeah.
Like, that woman is just awesome.
No, she's got a great sense of humor.
I think I would actually nerd out about Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
I would cry.
You should watch her
and
working
I would feel
out.
So honored.
She is so dope. When you watch her work out, like, she is such a, like, a person of the people.
Hmm.
She so is 100%.
Hmm.
I just think she's an amazing woman.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I just, like, all the stuff that she's done, I'm just
don't
like,
die.
Oh my goodness.
Don't die.
Oh
don't
my
die,
goodness.
Don't die.
Okay, guys. We're going to knock on wood, and we're going to, those of us who believe are going to pray for Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
To live forever.
Yes.
If anyone
but
was going to do it,
we're
going to get out of here
until
the
next Democratic president, please.
Here's the thing. I get what you're doing. And first of all, take your politics out of this situation. I just want her to live forever.
Sure.
It has nothing to do with who's the president or who's going to replace her. I just think she's amazing.
Yeah.
Bye.
But don't die.
Don't die ever.
Don't die.
Don't die ever.
Don't.
Okay, so
okay,
I feel
we
like we should get back into etymology. So
No.
Did you
know
that the phrase knock on wood originated from the ancient Celts who believed that knocking on a tree would rouse the spirit in the tree, and then the spirit in the tree would go and grant your wish. It was considered good luck.
Oh, yeah.
That is really cool.
Yeah, Monica, you didn't look up something offensive.
You didn't make me.
Touché? Well, I think that's a good place to end the episode and this season of Forsooth Podcast.
Ooh!
Season finale.
We will not be on the internet for quite some time. We have a project that's hush-hush that will be coming out in maybe a month or so. And then once that project wraps, after a month or so, we will be, in theory, returning in the new year. As long as, you know, one of us isn't arrested and the other one isn't, in, like, murdered.
We don't want to spoil.
Is that the secret project?
Yes, yes. Murder most foul.
Why would you murder most of the birds?
That's what Thanos did. He killed 50% of them.
That's not most, that's half.
Oh my goodness.
That's,
we have just hit all the nerdy, geeky people now. You guys are all represented.
Well, you don't know. It's folks. It's an average. It doesn't mean that it's a guarantee.
We're doing it again.
I feel like we're the Cheers of podcasts.
Say Cheers?
Yeah.
Because they were a horrible bar?
Yes, okay. And also because it's smart humor.
No, it wasn't. No, it isn't. None of that is true.
To be fair, folks, thank you for listening to us. IQ to understand Monica's jokes.
Thanks, Rachel.
Okay, Morty. Pickle Rick.
I'm done. I'm so done.
All right. Well, thank you all again for listening, Rachel. Thank you for joining us telephonically. Thank you. And there's one last thing I want to end this on. Sooth.
Aw, Sooth.
And Rachel, Sooth.
Sooth.
Thank you. This has been the Four Sooth Podcast, signing off for the season.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
See you next year.
Four Sooth Podcast is a trademark of Five Fire Monkeys Entertainment. Four Sooth Podcast is brought to you by Five Fire Monkeys Entertainment. No badgers were hurt in the recording or producing of Four Sooth Podcast. If you or anyone you know was offended by this podcast, please contact your local congressman.